On today's episode, we talk about the Olympics. We talk about the U.S. women winning gold. And we talk about Thierry Henry and Spain. What an absolute amazing game.
And we recap some Leagues Cup. We talk about the future Leagues Cup and a lot of transfers in Major League Soccer. So we'll finally get some time to talk about it now that the Olympics are over. Let's do this.
That and more on today's episode. So I was hosting an event on Saturday, mm-hmm. a little soccer tournament.
Okay.
And you know, when we host these things, I think sometimes we take people a bit by surprise with some of the things we're saying.
We, you and I.
Yeah. What, do you speak of French? Are you agreeing with me?
Yes, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, stop acting like you've never made a joke, okay, while on microphone. You know, sometimes people are like, wait a minute, this isn't a typical announcer. They've got bits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the most part, this was packed house. It was great. People were watching the women's gold match. People were watching the games on the field. Two of the games were competitive, and there was an all-star game, all made up of Bowery Premier players. If you don't know, Bowery Premier is a very high-level amateur league here in New York City. Mm-hmm. Everyone loved it except one guy on one of the teams that was losing. He looked at me and goes, talk less.
We've seen this in events that we've hosted where some people are like, it could be like a charity event.
Uh-huh.
For kids.
It could be for kids.
For sick children.
Uh-huh. Then they're there.
the children are there and they're looking for role models.
Uh-huh. And sometimes someone will present themselves as they don't, you know?
Don't be like this. And it's like, well, some people can understand the you know, how like loose and chill the tournament might be.
Right.
Sometimes you have the hardcore competitors that mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if this is a charity event for a Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Doesn't matter.
No.
It could be a fun event for the community.
Exactly.
And one guy's like, what about the part of the community that are jerks?
And that happens from time to time. Uh-huh.
But how do we usually handle this?
We try to bring some sort of levity to...
But what happens if somebody comes after us? What do we usually do, being the good comedians that we are?
Oh, yeah, we just like roast them. And
we got to roast the crap out of them.
You can't behave that way.
So I spent the next about 7-8 minutes roasting this man for being a horrible human being who's in finance.
And I mean, that it's like, you know, it's kind of redundant to mention the finance part.
And let's just say, on the nose. Okay, it turns out from other people on his team, they were like, yo, how'd you know he was in finance? It was glorious. And you know what else? You know what that guy did after that?
What'd he do?
Not a goddamn thing, folks.
That's usually how it works out.
I'm the one with the microphone. How do you think this is going to work out for you, my G?
Yeah, the problem is a lot of times, N1, we all remember N1 mixtapes and like N1 shows. The N1 shows, you would be playing a game at the Rucker. There'd be an MC.
On the court with you. Like a ref.
If you did something.
Yelling, whoa, baby, every time you made a shot.
If, you know, somebody got crossed up, uh-huh. they got the player that got crossed up getting roasted.
It was YouTube comments and Instagram comments live and direct. Immediately. Okay. Instant gratification.
Back in the day, that's how we used to do it. Okay.
We didn't have to wait till the clip was edited and posted,
folks.
We said
it right to your face.
There was a man in an Afro wig with a very loud microphone yelling it to your face, getting the crowd jazzed up about your mistake.
Exactly. But now the thing that happens with the sport of soccer and football is that
they never got and one.
We never got and one-ified.
Dude.
And this is why
so
we're
here become that guy now.
Okay.
We have to usher in a new era.
So we're here to roast. We're here to make jokes while you're playing. So that's gonna just be part of part of your life nowadays.
Can I add to what you're saying, because there was a moment where he goes up top as the sole striker, mm-hmm. playing back to goal nine, lays it off to someone who, you know, strikes a beautiful shot. It was a great layoff, I'll give him credit for that. Strikes a beautiful shot and it gets parried directly to him and he shoots wide, and I said, shoot less instead of talk less. And that was the moment where the crowd was like, do we still back this guy?
Boom. You gotta put him in their place.
Bruh.
Okay. Oh, you just keep it. You look, This is my advice. If you're playing in a game like this, and there's an announcer like us they're specific. We get specifically hired to do that thing you don't want to be happening.
Our contract says talk more, not talk less.
We will be we're going to be fumbling the bag if we're speaking less.
So if I listen to you, then now I live with you.
Okay,
I'm going to say, what's all this stuff on the back of your toilet seat?
I'm gonna have to,
this doesn't look like dry shampoo.
Right.
Your cat licked it. He's been bouncing off the walls.
Okay. I don't want to be asking you if they're hiring at the finance factory, I'm not interested in working
I'm proficient there. In Microsoft Word. Does that help you ahead, Ernst & Young, my guy?
So that's how it is,
That's
everybody.
What happens if you try to roast us, folks.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans right here on... Sports.
Yeah.
Let's go.
My
name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And we have a lot to celebrate because the U.S. Women's National Team are gold medalists.
Oh, who broke that?
You did, because you were messing with the buttons the other day.
Nah, I fixed it. because I did this. But now we messed this one up?
Why'd you change that one?
No, I'll fix that as I talk, actually, because I can't have that.
Can you?
We're good. It'll take 2 seconds.
Will it affect the record itself?
Nah, not at all.
Okay. Anyway, the U.S. Women's National Team have won. Now we just have a view of Alexis's hand massaging the board. There we go.
We're back, baby.
The U.S. Women's National Team have won the Olympics in gold.
Bro, quick question. Is America back, baby?
I mean, on the geopolitical stage, no.
All
we
right,
are not
how
back.
About in, how about in this one specific sport for this one specific gender?
Okay.
At least there, are we back?
I think we're there.
Hey.
Every other factor, we're taking a couple steps back, bro. a huge win against Brazil in a game that...
Brazil low-key were maybe at points the better team in this 90 minutes.
First half, 100% they were the better team. I mean, this was a...
I was stressed, bro.
I was stressed. Look, I was looking back at our predictions from the last episode. I said 3-1. You said 4-1. And we just got to... 1-0, a close one, okay?
Bro,
that's all we got.
Stressy at the end, bro.
Yeah, dude.
I got to give all the credit, though. Look, I think the front line, the triple espresso, played amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The back line, the fearsome foursome, whatever you call that, whatever they...
Okay, we got a new name.
The quadruple latte. I don't know what's going on back there. The flat white. The flat white out back. There's a little bit of coffee in there. It's crazy that there's triple espresso and the defensive midfielder is coffee. It's a lot.
There's a lot
going on there. Shouts to Nico who pointed that out. But here's
Woman of the match, Matt. Quite impressive.
Damn. There's one energy drink somewhere in there. For me, that midfield, though, was a bit of a struggle. But I will say all the credit belongs to first the players. But these players, we've seen them before in international competitions recently and not play well. The big difference to me, Emma Hayes, man.
Emma Hayes definitely brought...
She said, we don't do subs, bro.
Subs, that's a ancient era of football.
She's like a New York deli. Said, we don't do subs, only heroes, yo. Only heroes. Only heroes, you feel me? We don't do subs.
This is, we didn't, so we were talking about this throughout these entire Olympics.
Yeah.
Why doesn't she make substitutions? And did you hear about the pain cave?
That's what it is, a pain cave. I couldn't remember this morning. Pain cave,
the
dog.
The pain cave. Why would you introduce this to our lives, Emma?
Yo.
This sounds brutal.
Now I know what to call when I go to my in-laws. We're going to the pain cave, man.
It is now branded.
And I'm like, baby girl, make a sub. Let me out, bro. Let me go to the car for a breather.
So if you haven't heard about the pain cave, and I don't remember who Emma Hayes was referencing, but it was a...
It was about, though, her trusting her 11 to play almost a full 90.
Yes, but it was in reference to the ideology and methodology comes from I believe either a marathon runner or another Olympian that basically says that you have to push through that point where you just think you are completely exhausted and like you it's just a mental thing that once you reach the depths of absolute struggle and pain, You got to go further than that to get to your pain cave to know exactly what is your complete limit.
This is some Chuck Norris stuff right here, bro. Pain ain't real. Just, she's Steven Seagal, dude.
This is just such an... This sounds like a little bit of like Bobby Knight, right? This is... The Pain Cave branding sounds like a, like, oh, wow, it's just mental or whatever. But then it's like, all right, when is it, like,
right,
actual abuse? You know what I mean? Like, when does it get to that point?
It's like, yeah, you lost a finger. You got nine more. You got to push through.
And so I'm not.
If you squeeze hard enough, you will grow another finger.
You got to just will it.
Yeah.
You're not trying hard enough.
Here's a book about manifesting in three crystals. She's like, can I get a Band-Aid, though? Just anything, a gauze.
It's like Christian Science is the way.
Yeah.
It will heal everything.
We could bring you back to life with these essential oils.
Okay, we just need you to play 120 minutes, nine games in a row.
Look, I want you to come back to life primarily because we're about to get into the second half.
So no, I don't think it's I don't think it ever got to a point. There were a couple points where I thought, I'm joking around about abuse, but there's definitely points where, like, when in the semifinal game, when Trini Rodman can't complete a pass,
that's the issue. Where you're like, her legs ain't got it no more.
We don't need to go to the pain cave. We don't need to go to the bat cave. Yeah. We don't need to go to any layer where it's like we see what we
see. Can we walk into the pain grotto? And then leave and realize, okay, there's a cave that we don't need to go all the way in.
Where's the pain spa? You know, something a little bit more.
The pain salt room. Now that one.
Okay, where's the pain mineral bath? Because we need something a little bit more, a bit responsible.
Where's the Russian dude smacking you in them leaves? You feel me? Where's the pain that, whatever that's called?
So that was the point where I think to some extent, like, Emma Hayes got lucky in that.
I don't know if it was lucky because, look, you have to suggest she had a plan and it worked.
I'm not saying not lucky that she won. I think she's just lucky there weren't any serious
injuries. Even that. Yeah. You have to say, like, all right, if that's her plan and it works, you can't say luck is on her side.
Right.
It's not like there was an injury that magically went away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So to your point, I get it. I think it's still risky.
It's very risky.
It's still risky. And I'm like, yo, I don't want this to happen every time there's an international competition.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be a World Cup where she's just running out the same 11.
Yeah. I mean, I think a World Cup is probably, given that there's more rest in between matches, this is probably fine.
Yeah.
It's just in the Olympics. I'm impressed that the players...
Right, with an 18-player roster. Yeah,
I'm just impressed that the players were able to manage and able to do it. Like, you know, Brazil in that final had six players, I think, that didn't play in the previous game or didn't start in the previous game. So there were a lot more...
Well, yeah, they've rotated heavily.
So
it almost worked to their favor.
Yeah, in that first half, if they could have finished some of their chances, I mean, there was the one offside call. But if they were just a little bit more clinical, they would be leading in that game and probably make it a much nervier game. I do think eventually the U.S. score, but still, this was that first half. Brazil, I thought, were remarkable. The press, the pressure.
You have to absorb the suffering, right? And they gave it to them in that first half.
They didn't. The U.S. And their best strength, given when it comes to managing those minutes and managing those tired legs, is that they, throughout most of this tournament, they usually always had the ball.
Yeah.
So you can rest a little bit when you have the ball.
I think one team scored against them.
Two teams scored against them. Germany and Australia.
Okay, so two teams scored against them.
They only gave up, two goals.
Fam. Right? What's the goal differential? Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine to two?
Pretty good. I mean,
I'll take that.
And we were talking about this before the Olympics. We just said, like, defensively, I think they'll be fine, but are they going to score enough goals? And I think they proved not only, I think gone are the days of, like, the, what was the game against in the 2019 World Cup where we beat the team, like, 11-0.
Oh, was that Thailand?
Thailand, right? I don't think we're going to be seeing more.
Or was Thailand the earlier? No, it was
2019, yeah. So I don't think we're going to get that again, or
I kind of want regular, I want one of those every once in a
while. It'd be nice. Yeah. It'd be nice. But it seems like this, not only the state of women's football around the world has clearly improved.
The gap is closed between us and at least the larger, more footballing nations.
Yes. But also, I think the transition between the 2019 World Cup team to the 2023 World Cup team and the 2024 Olympic team, I think the, you know, that I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't know. I'm not going to say that the team is worse per se, but the as far as scorers, we don't have the same degree.
Also, the game calls for not a pure nine. Maybe in most places anymore. I'm going to ask you to look at this Olympics from a women's standpoint. Overall, bird's eye view of the whole thing. Bird's eye view. Okay. And I want you to tell me
what was the drone flying around again?
Right, as a Canadian would for doing analytics. I want you to give me the bird's eye view of what you think the U.S. have done in this. Do you think we've gotten back to the position of being the dominant force in the women's soccer game? Do you think the U.S. national team, the women's U.S. national team, mm-hmm. are now the top dog once again, where I don't think going into this competition we were. Are you that confident that we are those two things?
I am. I think the getting to see Naomi Girma, which also, I just, correction to we got so many comments. Everybody's like, it's not Naomi, it's Naomi, which is okay. Thank you for that. I did it. I know plenty of Naomis. I feel like it's a common mistake. Apologies if anyone is offended on Naomi's behalf.
We were saying
Naomi Girma, which is how I say that name.
I say Naomi Girma.
Exactly.
And it's not.
It's not. It's Naomi Girma.
Did we ever ask her?
We got to get.
You think I'm taking randos off the internet?
Everybody, literally, like the same repeated comment as if it's the highest insult in the world. I get if we're saying it slightly wrong, but they're also, Naomi is a perfectly normal way to say that name.
You think I'm going to listen to Sexy Dan XX69? Tell me how to.
Sexy Dan has the content. Yeah, is crazy.
The rest of his content is sus as hell. But that in particular.
No. Seeing Naomi Girma have a successful international tournament, because we see her.
This was the blossoming of one of the greatest defenders we've had on our team.
Yeah, I mean, and it was kind of nervy, because in the first half she made like a couple challenges that she missed, a couple little mistakes that created chances for Brazil.
She was just priming to pump.
the second half. Is she settled in and it's just like.
But your thoughts on the whole the organization.
The organization, I think, has now, especially with Triple Espresso, with just seeing the success that all three of those front three had. They all contributed goals. They all were, the chemistry was just incredible. And it just highlights that there are superstars again on the U.S. Women's National Team. And not only from on the field, I think Trini Rodman has the potential to be the next Rapinoe, the next Mia Hamm. The level of, you saw those pictures of those little girls with the same pink braids in their
couple
hair.
Couple dads wearing it. Couple we're dads, like, you guys
bro.
Are...
If I had enough time, I would have done it too, bro. I would have come in here today. With
I
the
got
pink.
My appointment for the salon, bro.
Okay.
About to come in here looking like a bad bitch.
So I think that's the really exciting part, that there's just not only a success on the field, but we always saw their personalities. You saw what they stood for. I mean, even, you know, again, people are tired of us talking about Corbin and all this stuff, but even the level of the way, I know it's a complicated issue for a lot of the other players, but they handled it, and credit to them for not letting it be a distraction.
And that's one credit I'll give. I'm not a huge fan of the complete silent treatment.
Neither am I.
I will say, at the end of the day, it seems like something that maybe is getting handled in house, or maybe it will be potentially.
The annoying part
hasn't already.
Is that if they would have lost, this would have been the reason. It'd be like, because everybody was mad at Corbin or whatever. This is like, there's no pleasing these people.
No. And also, she did play very well in the final match.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Very smart to let Coffey go a little bit more forward. How there? I mean, Emma Hayes is proven to be, for me, the way I look at the overall organization, it feels like it's on the right track. And in fact, it sort of, and not to take anything away from this moment from the women, it gives me the idea of like, all right, U.S. Soccer, you made the exact perfect right hire for the women. Now go do it for the men.
Okay, yeah, that should be the next.
We need our Emma Hayes on the men's side.
Can she coach both?
Can she? I honestly was about to say the next thing.
She can't. I mean, the games are usually not at the same time. I mean, it's not impossible.
Ballistic, talk to me about pain caves.
Okay, we'll put you through the ringer, bro. Right.
Besides having to listen to Rafael Leao's music, which actually is kind of dope.
so that is the exciting part. That they obviously they are these superstars that are getting a lot of notoriety. The one thing, this always happens, especially the Olympics are probably a little bit more, I would argue, do you think the World Cup brings more people the World Cup clearly brings more people to soccer than anything else. But the Olympics are like
another opportunity for the world to talk about the sport.
Exactly. Yeah. So you get the as far as American audiences that are not into the sport, they dip their toe. And they're like, oh, okay, the women won gold. Let's talk about
There's
it.
There's a lot of, who's this? Is she good?
Yeah. Okay, and they learn about it that day of the final, right? So we all know Mallory Pugh.
Yes.
But now Mallory Swanson.
Right.
Was on our
show. It's gotta suck to lose the sound of a laser as your last name.
Pew, 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 pew. You could argue.
It's kind of fire, no?
The brand is crazy with the Pugh.
Pugh is perfect.
You respect your husband and tradition.
If you want to change the name, I'm with you with Swanson. Because you're out here giving me a hungry man meal of goals. I'll take it. But Pugh is a great last name. It's the sound you hear when you run past them.
You know, her father was like, are you sure? Yeah. You want to switch it up?
You could go Swanson Pugh, which is kind of fire.
Okay. So the
Mallory Pugh, Swanson also works.
The Cubs in baseball, obviously, the Cubs and the White Sox played in their derby, right? Mm-hmm.
There's only one team, Chicago.
So we know baseball. Cuban, Dominican, we got it.
Trust us, we're fine in that department. And also, we would have made triple the money if we talked about baseball instead of soccer.
So they're playing.
This is a great opportunity for the American baseball sports to talk about this other thing happening.
So the announcers are like,
they found a connection.
Dansby Swanson, who plays for the Cubs, is the husband of Mallory Swanson.
And they were like, hey, why don't we make a graphic for
that? Let's congratulate both of them, because Dansby Swanson got his 1,000th career hit.
On the same day. That Shorty, his wife, his wins gold.
The gold medal.
So let's put that up and celebrate both.
Boom! Hey, yes!
Guess what, Dansby? You done married the wrong girl.
There's a lot of issues here because they nailed Dansby Swanson. They got his picture 100%. Correct. So you would appreciate.
They did pick both photos. It looks like sitcom intros. It's a weird pose. Dude, by both,
like,
players.
They literally just went like this.
Yeah.
Like, right, you know what I mean? Right?
They were working on a car and then turned to the camera and smiled.
Okay. So we're looking at Dansby Swanson and with the name.
Good news and attitudes, whatever that song is from.
And the name Mallory Swanson, but the picture is not of Mallory Swanson.
And that's my problem with it, is that this is a different member of, this is a different espresso in the triple espresso. What you're looking at here is a photo of Sophia Smith. Very happy to be holding her gold medal.
Right.
And also a wedding ring. And I think her husband's like, hey, hold up.
Well, no, she's engaged. She's engaged.
Oh, is it? Is an engagement ring?
She's engaged. Who'd to the Arizona Cardinals. I forgot what position he plays.
What's this baseball soccer connection happening?
It's all good, bro. I mean, they're top tier athletes. They're
If you're a baseball player, you are not going to strike out with a soccer player. Am I right, everyone? Michael Wilson plays football for the Cardinals. Yes. I think you meant the St. Louis Cardinals.
No, the Arizona Cardinals.
Too many teams named Cardinals. It's not even that dangerous of a bird. I don't know. It doesn't strike fear in the heart.
It's an adorable bird.
Yeah.
So clearly, they got it wrong. And they did later in the broadcast correct themselves. Mm-hmm. I think I'll post Mallory's proper photo, but the damage is done.
Right. They put up a picture of Mia Hamm, and you're like, hey, that's wrong again. You guys are going
just the
crazy.
Age difference alone should have been a red flag.
It's a photo from this year as well.
It's a picture of Brandi Chastain in her sports bra. No, like, no, guys.
It's a picture of Mia Hamm with her arm around Nomar Garcia-Para. Why are you doing this to Mallory Swanson?
This is the problem I have, is that when teams in soccer are successful, everybody comes out the woodwork. They're let's support these ladies. And then they do stuff like this.
Yes.
But the annoying part is that, and I just want to be more critical of that. And this is why I'm, we're putting this on screen and everything. Because as an American fan of sports, I'm supposed to know who Dansby Swanson is. I'm supposed to know what he looks like.
If that was the wrong guy, I wouldn't have known.
but baseball fans would be like, you don't even know who Dansby Swanson is. You got his picture wrong or whatever. So it's like, no, we got to mock these clowns for making a mistake like this. This is crazy.
It's not good enough. Someone should have been able to catch it.
Yeah. So
before it goes
shout
up.
Shout out to the homie Sarah Spain.
Power couple.
I mean, they got the copy. They did everything else. And
little American flag in there. You didn't get that wrong. You didn't be like, oh no, we went with North Korea again.
My bad.
Oh, they're both red, white, and blue. You can understand my mistake.
So this is crazy. You can't make this error. Hopefully we learn this, and hopefully don't correct
our mistakes moving forward.
Exactly.
Also, if it's a major network, don't they usually have like databases they can pull photos from where you type a person's name and their image pops up?
They clearly have like a graphics person, a producer. It has to go through a couple layers of like somebody putting this on TV. Right.
No one got like a WhatsApp friend that knows about soccer. You can snap a photo and be like, yo.
It's also even if you do a Google search, you got the name right. How'd you pull up this photo? Like, it's kind of crazy.
Search Mallory Swanson gold medal and see if it comes up with different.
If any picture of Sophia Smith comes up. All right. So Mallory Swanson gold medal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Images. Can there even be a slight mistake?
There's one with the three of them.
The first photo.
I will say the eighth photo is of the U.S. men's basketball team holding. That is the wrong triple espresso. That is Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant.
I mean, shouts to them as well, because they the men and the women in basketball.
I'm seeing a full screen. The only image is their image is in the third row. Do you see the incorrect image they made? Is in the third row.
Oh, yeah. Because it's
that's the only Mallory Swanson photo in there.
So, no, a crazy mistake. You can't do
good
this.
God.
But again, so look, overall, I think a great tournament. I mean, you have to.
We got to talk about Emma Hayes saying that she got opportunities in America she would have never gotten in England.
Yeah, I mean, and.
Is anyone more American than Emma Hayes?
Is Emma Hayes an American citizen?
I think she is.
Maybe she is. I don't even know.
She is after this, bro.
I mean, she worked in this country a very long time.
Yo, we got to come up with, is it madam? What's the knighted version for women in England?
Is it madam or lady? I don't know.
It can't be sir.
It's definitely not sir. I think is it lady?
Is it lady?
I don't know.
Do they also get knighted or is it a different thing?
I don't know.
Our producers are working on it. Dame Judi Dench. That makes sense.
Dame.
Yo, we got to come up with a knighted version for Americans, yo.
Okay.
But we don't care about being knights or dames. So you what just, are you, CEO?
We just create like a crown that's made out of a Cinnabon. And we put it on there.
Nah. You know what they get? 3 weeks tax free. That's what they get. 3 weeks tax free.
They just get things that Europeans already get. We just give them paid maternity leave. Yo,
we give them free healthcare for 4 weeks.
It's like, what a treat.
Yeah, you good. 4 weeks, though.
We got you, though.
And no pre-existing conditions.
You're one of the best Americans I ever seen. No, but Emma Hayes, I liked it.
A doctor will see you without making you impoverished.
Congratulations. Yeah. I love.
But don't tell nobody.
The comments from Emma Hayes after the game, she was talking to on the NBC broadcast. She was talking to Mike Tirico, and he asked her like, you know, she was very emotional. He asked her like, why did he want to win this for the United States? And she said, I love America. It made me. And you see, and she's like almost about to cry talking about this. And I think
did I show you the photo of Nicole Hack playing?
Yeah. Nicole had reshared it on Twitter as well. But seeing, you know, this even as Americans, there's a little bit of like, you know, we all get frustrated with our country and a lot of stuff and how we're sort of represented. But when you see foreigners who can, you know, they have a different perspective on what this country means. And for me, it helps me realize like that this country does have so much to offer and it can change people's lives and it can do so many positive things and that's what, you know, I look to our national teams to kind of highlight that. And I think Emma Hayes is a great example of that, of like that there's so much positive that can come from and inclusivity and whether it's activism, whether it's just being good on the field and being inspirations and stuff like that. There's so much to offer.
But
Emma Hayes highlights that very well.
I look at Mallory Pugh, the image they showed of her, Mallory Swanson, but when she was a child, obviously Pugh, they showed an image of her yearbook. And she apparently was so inspired by, I can't remember which World Cup it was or which Olympics it was in the 2000s. But she said she wanted to grow up to win gold with the U.S. Women's National Team in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And she did that. But what I want to take from that is how a moment of sports can inspire someone to go that route. And Charlie talks about it all the time. To become the type of person that could get on this team and the hard work that it takes to do that. Normally, that doesn't come from a coach. That inspiration comes from play on the field. And obviously, the coach has to get the players to play at that point. But I honestly think that Emma Hayes might even be inspiring people to say, yeah, I want to grow up to coach the women's national team. You know what I mean?
Sure.
She is that much. And normally, we don't really hear from coaches this way. And, you know, I think back to the previous P.S. Soonhaj and, you know, Jill Ellis. And I think of some of the previous managers. I don't really see, like, someone who is going to inspire the youth. I think Emma Hayes is that type of manager. I think she is that type of head coach. And that's a massive compliment to her. A massive compliment.
And also the thing with coaches don't get medals, which I don't. I saw a post from Emma Hayes, but I don't know if they're like giving her one.
So then did Emma Hayes not win a gold medal?
I mean, technically she did not win a gold medal, right? The players that played won a gold medal, which is such a strange thing because obviously in World Cups, everybody on the staff gets a winner's medal. But
you could say Emma Hayes won us a gold medal.
Yes. She won a gold medal in my eyes. And so it's just like she doesn't physically get one.
That seems
seems like awful. Yeah. Maybe that should be adjusted or changed or whatever. But and I just wanted to show the image of Mallory.
Actually, that's Sophia Smith as a child.
Imagine.
We should have photoshopped that. That would have been gold.
But this is it. This is her yearbook or what? Her sixth grade yearbook, and she goes, "My favorite memory of sixth grade was outdoor education. I want to be on the USA soccer team and win a gold medal." Imagine having this level of just like manifestation and foresight. This
Imagine
is incredible.
Going to a school that had outdoor education. Where the hell?
La di da, yeah, Mallory. Wow.
I'm sorry I didn't go to Streets 101 in my school. What is happening over there?
Nah, bro. I mean, we had our outdoor education was in fenced in. Yeah, we played like a schoolyard with gates around it.
And they'd be like, don't talk to the men hanging on the gate in the north.
It's like, are you preparing us for a prison?
Yeah. You know? Did they do the white van scare when you were growing up, that people were driving around in white vans kidnapping kids?
Okay. Basically, the way you express that, the white van scare, sounded like like a punked episode where they actually got a van and stole one of your classmates.
They should have done that. It would have been hilarious. I think you would have locked it in. You know what I mean? I think if even if Steve comes back, I think that memory is burned in a little bit of trauma.
I mean, yes, it's a urban legend kind
of
thing.
It's a common thing. I think every year, you know. I don't know if kids still go through this, but in our era as children, during Outdoor Edge, which is what we called it when we walked home, they were told, like, why vans are driving by stealing kids, so watch out, you know? Those poor plumbers who just had kids running from their cars. They're like, we really got to get a sign on this thing.
Oh, no, the Roto-Rooter van is after me.
Damn, yo, Stanley Steamers is out here doing more than carpet cleaning.
All right, let's move on. We'll be back in a sec. We got to talk about the men's final, and we got to catch up on MLS and Leagues Cup, because obviously
we haven't been able to
talk about it throughout these last few weeks, but a lot to catch up on. All right, we'll be right back. All right, let's talk about the men's Olympic final, Spain against France. This was a scoreline I didn't expect at all. This was, I mean, one of the
greatest matches I've ever seen.
Was this the highest scoring game of the Olympics on the men's side entirely?
It might have been. The fact that it was so back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you know, lead swapping. Oh, dude, this was so exciting.
Yeah, this is...
Normally, finals, I feel like, are kind of boring on the men's side. They're so defensive, and everyone's afraid to lose.
Well, I mean, finals, I've made this comment before about, Champions League finals. Like, most Champions League finals, you do not
get more...
If you get more than 3 goals, it's always like almost a miracle,
right?
Because they play to not lose and not specifically to win. I feel like in World Cups, for whatever, I don't know what happens, and everybody's exhausted. The vibes, the energy, there's just something overcomes people where Mbappe is getting a hat trick at a World Cup final.
But that was necessary. Like, yo, they keep scoring. They're not doing this whole not scoring thing we talked about before the game.
It's like insane. So, but to get 8 goals here, and, France led in this game, and Spain. Again, they were in the same group as Dominican Republic. I thought it was going to be DR in that spot.
At the final. We all put our money on
this
it, for sure.
This is what we all sort of expected. Yeah. But they found another gear that I don't even know sort of who, I don't know. Like, for Spain to win the Euros and then also win the Olympics, it's like such a boost to the psyche of like the future, like we could dominate for another decade. You know what I mean?
No one was talking about Spain before the Euros,
mm-hmm.
and no one was talking about Spain before this Olympics. And now, whatever competition you're in, y'all better be talking about Spain.
Because like, nobody's really
saying y'all as if I'm not part of the problem.
The goddamn media nowadays.
I got 2 shows where I didn't talk about Spain in any of these. I'm one of y'all.
The mainstream media nowadays. No. We got to get on, so you got to stay on top of them.
Big networks just hiring people with not enough experience to talk about Spain.
It's such a strong like a Fox News energy that they constantly complain about mainstream media. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, y'all one of the biggest networks in the world.
You might be number one in this set, in this time.
What do you define as mainstream exactly? I need to confirm. But
I think, personally, Spain is showing you. I'm not so confident that they have the future. Because if you look at the Euros run, yes, you have 2 young players that were exceptional in Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams.
Mm.
But a lot of that experience came from players that were much, much older. In particular, Carvajal, I don't know how much longer he has. What's Carvajal, 31? Right, if we can check.
I think maybe late 20s. How old is he? I don't think he's that old.
I thought 32. There you go, 32 years old. I mean, you're not going to see him in the future. There's other players that need to step their game up. This 23, Fermin Lopez, looked absolutely incredible. But also, there's players that you've never heard of that came up. What's the dude who scored the 2 in extra time? Camello?
He
plays for Rayo Vallecano. He couldn't even get minutes at
Sergio Camello.
Yeah, he played at
which is Sergio Camel,
which basically
is just
Now that's a guy smoking a cigarette on a motorcycle. Sergio Camel's on his way. I know it. My drink is vibrating. I couldn't get minutes at Atletico Madrid. Played at Atletico Madrid 2 for a while. And now he's at Rayo Vallecano, which, you know, great team, but not the highest position you can get or the highest club you could get on in La Liga. And he's coming in and scoring 2 goals in a gold fine in a gold medal final.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Also,
the coach? I keep forgetting this guy's name with the curly hair.
The goalkeeper for Spain, Arnau Tenas, was unreal.
Yeah, stood on his head.
Really the entire tournament. But in this game, he stopped so many huge chances for France, and my man plays at PSG as well, so he's very familiar with playing in that stadium. But this was a
Santi Denia.
Okay,
Santi Denia,
the coach.
Denia.
Denia? Who cares? I don't know.
But that's actually the perfect comment, because this guy was Spain U17 coach, became Spain U19 coach, became Spain U21 coach. And then now Spain U23. This guy's working his way up his ranks.
Sure.
I mean, this is not, you know, we talked about the U.S. men's national team wants to find a serial winner. That's what they said.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows who this guy is. He just won Olympic gold.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it wasn't, it's not a shock. I mean, Spain are very good. And you can imagine that from a development perspective, that they have things in order to create.
I'm going to start naming players. And then I want you to stop me when you recognize a player that you knew before this tournament.
Got it. Go for it.
Okay. Arnau Tenas. Joan Garcia. I'm in the goalkeepers right now.
Right.
Alejandro Iturbe. Okay. Defenders. Juan Miranda. Eric Garcia. Miguel Gutierrez. John Pacheco. Juanlu Sanchez. Cristian Mosquera. Marc Pubill. Pau Cubarsí.
Go on. There we go.
Okay. So we got through. hold on. Okay. So you know one. I'm going to keep going, by the way. Alex Baena. Adrián Benarbe. Aymar Oroz. That can't be a real human being. you guys just smashed the keyboard. whatever autocorrect gave you, you went with. Benat Turrientes. Diego López. Pablo Barrios. Fermín López.
I heard of Edmund.
Okay. Now let's go to the forwards. Abel Ruiz, Sergio Gomez, Sergio Camello, Samuel Omorodion. 2 players out of this whole squad you've heard of before.
Yeah. Look, but I got 0 ball knowledge, all right?
Yo, that's the comments is straight, bro.
Put it in the comments right now.
Bro,
feel free.
You got it copied and pasted, bro.
0 negative ball knowledge. Feel free. Go crazy with it.
I don't think that it takes a lot of ball knowledge to know. So maybe one more name if you're really into La Liga at the deepest depths.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're talking about a bunch of players you've never heard of, a coach you've never heard of. And, yo, they looked incredible.
Which is what tells me even, you know, the victory at the Euros really said, like, look, these young players stepped up and they were major, huge reasons why they won the Euros. And, look, there was a bit of a gap of quality from Spain and Spanish players, definitely on the men's side. Basically, since they won the Euros, World Cup Euros, there was just that gap of the generation that they had was literally once in a generation or once in a lifetime of Xavi, Iniesta, David Villa, like having these unbelievable players be just alive at the same time and playing together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spain has not really recreated that. And
that was a golden generation.
Without a doubt. So it's like, are we on the precipice or is this a golden generation that we have now with Spain? It's a fair question given the success and only...
How many players have to be consistently great on a squad in order for it to be considered a golden era, and how many times do you have to win? And that's my question. I'm not asking you. That's more of a rhetorical question. Sure. Because I think you need more than just, and maybe precipice, maybe, but it still doesn't feel, I need to see a World Cup win before I see, you know, yeah, you guys are on the precipice of you guys are a golden generation. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
I think back to the golden generation we're talking about a World Cup sandwiched between 2 Euros wins. that's a massive accomplishment, an accomplishment that's difficult. And they looked even pretty good beyond that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the level where I'm like, that's a golden era. I think back to Chile having a golden era. We're talking about two Copa America wins, against Argentina. That's a golden era. That alone is insane for South America.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
To me, this Spain, there's still some questions. Forwards, bro, they got that on lock. Some midfield, they've got that on lock.
I would say wingers, they got it on lock. I mean, forwards, the...
Good point. Yes, wingers, more than forwards. Yeah,
like, definitely the...
But they just will never midfield, play with a nine.
Dani Olmo, and those wingers, to me, like...
He's got to come good in his next move. Like, I'm not sold on Dani Olmo, regardless of the fact that he played incredibly well.
Yeah, he was great at the Euros, yeah.
Yeah, but I need to see you do that and be healthy consistently at Barcelona. We get comments about this, too. Fit versus healthy.
Oh yeah,
Americans say healthy. Everyone else says fit.
Yeah, and the British say healthy, healthy,
healthy, mate.
Yeah, okay. We gotta include them as well.
The physio runs down and goes, "You all right?"
You're all right.
And then like, "Yeah, you want some magic spray, mate?" you stay fit, healthy, whatever. Stay on the pitch, and then Dani Olmo for me. I think it's too early to tell whether we have the golden generation. But I think you start off pretty strong by, obviously winning a gold and winning the Euros.
Okay. I mean,
but also, they got to play England. Is there anyone easier to play in the final?
Okay. Hey, mate. No, man. they got their songs. They have I love Lamine Yamal, who's like, I love his Instagram and TikTok and stuff because he's dancing. And
he's a child.
He's a child.
Like, very proudly, and no,
TikTok,
that's not a disrespect.
TikTok generation, but he's
like, but this is my, I'm alpha.
What I love about Lamine Yamal is that he plays Dominican dembow music all the time. He's like the guy running the aux, in the locker room. And my man is always playing Dominican music.
Do you know what his background is? His dad does look a little Caribbean Latino.
No, his dad is, I forgot what country he's from, but his parents are from a North African country.
Oh,
I think.
For real?
I don't remember exactly.
His dad does look like,
I could be totally wrong about that. I don't remember.
His dad does look like he's at the Puerto Rican Day Parade in the
Bronx.
But
this was a big talking point about him. His mom is from Equatorial Guinea. Okay. Got it.
That's from Morocco. That explains it.
Also,
Equatorial Guinea is the Spanish-speaking Guinea.
That is correct. Yeah, yeah. So, So, his dad is like, some people don't like his dad, kind of like the ball.
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball. They sometimes feel like he's like that. But he's...
Dance mom type dad.
But he's just... everything I've seen from him is just like, I'm proud of my son. But the main issue is that people always go to him for quotes.
Yeah,
they just want to, and it's like, well, he's not saying I want to be on camera. It's like, but y'all bring the cameras to me, and am I not gonna say anything?
Yeah.
So
I like him. I'm fine with him.
He seems like a chill guy.
He cries,
but Lamine Yamal has a chant, Lamine Yamal, whatever, and then Cucurella has a song as well.
He drinks Estrella or Estrella. Cucurella, because they refuse to say the yeah for the two L's.
When the Spanish say it, they don't say it like that. Yeah. So it seems like there's a good vibe overall. The other point I want to talk about is just the
real quick before you move on. You know who else loves reggaeton and all that?
Who?
The French, bro.
Okay.
Reggaeton stays in all their stuff. They love it.
All right.
I'm down. Italians as well.
Okay.
Italians love reggaeton.
Say Caribbeans. I say they want to be us.
Sabe, bro. Sorry, you're welcome for the vibes, bro. Y'all be dusty if you're listening to tango.
Imagine flamenco in 2024?
Bro, put that down, those stupid clam clap things, bro. We brought an 808 to the party. We doing drums, my guy.
The storyline or narrative around, I think it would have been a big deal if France and Thierry Henry won gold, but they just fell short. Does this put any damper on Thierry Henry as a coach? I personally don't think it does, again, because
if you didn't want him as a coach, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Because now you have an evidence if you wanted him as a coach, I think you also have evidence that he does make a good coach. Or certainly he's developed further as a coach than when we last saw him as a head coach or manager.
I thought the comeback against Egypt says a lot. And I thought that was like mentality and coaching. And I thought that was a great...
You know what else says that to me? The way they celebrate together. If you showed me the celebrations... When the players are dancing and having a good time with Thierry Henry and egging him on to get in the celebrations even more, you could have told me that was the goal winning team and I would have believed you.
Yeah,
that says something because go back to that clip that became very famous of him on the sidelines during the COVID run at Montreal when they were playing in Orlando all the games and he's yelling at all the players. You see a coach that doesn't have maybe that best relationship with the players, that hasn't found a way to bond with players. And it's tough.
He was doing the why are you making that pass?
Yeah.
Like the
pass. Do you know Central? Well, then do Central. That clip,
which is great. It's like you mic'd them up on the wrong day. Dog. This was,
could you not have done it during maybe a training session? But I look. I can speak from a slightly different perspective because I've had the opportunity to speak to him. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to ask him questions about this stuff on a personal level, and he's been very open about it on podcasts and other shows he's done. He felt like he needed to find a way to bond with players more and develop as a human being. And to a degree, like if those are the questions you had, right, you can't take away the buzz and the clout that comes with his name, right? If you want to grow the sport of soccer in this country, hiring a Thierry Henry, regardless of what happens on the pitch, you could probably do worse, okay?
Of course.
Did he show you that tactically he has the ability to coach a team better than what the sum of their parts came in as? I think he showed you that.
Yeah.
And two, can he bond with players? Can he find a way to make players better than they are and not just expect them all to be Thierry? And like the story of him, in Red Bull when I forgot what podcast it was. It was Bradley Wright Phillip and maybe Connor Lade.
We're talking
about it's too tight, it's too tight. And he goes up and shows you it's not too tight. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, bro, not everyone is Thierry Henry. They would have been playing at Barcelona, not New York Red Bulls. So the fact that he now, I think, understands that and has the ability to connect with players and get them to be 30% better than they were, the way Arsene Wenger got him to be 30%, 40%, 50% better than he was, that's the magic sauce. That's the secret sauce. Now that he has that, I think he's proven to some people those questions. If you had those questions, I think now you're like, okay, maybe I'll accept him as a manager more. The only thing is you can say, all right, maybe he tactically didn't figure it out perfectly in a final and you could hold that against him. The run they had, though, if I'm looking at it from a bird's eye view, I'm saying, I think he proved a lot of people wrong.
I think so, too. Look, overall, I think France probably should win this game. They had unbelievable chances. If the goalkeeper for Spain doesn't make some of the stops that he does, they're probably winning this game, or maybe it goes to penalties or whatever.
If France were to maybe get all the players they wanted, even though every team deals with that.
France were remarkable. I mean, even in this game, it's just like they gave up the...
Terrible time for Lacazette to have a bad game.
Yeah, and then the last goal was just like they sent all the numbers forward.
It is what it is.
The throw from the goalkeeper was just like, what it is what it is. But... I thought they were overall. They, again, if you just look at it on paper and you just look at the stats without the score, it looks like France probably won this game. I mean, we're looking at 30 total shots, 11 on target. But
it's crazy.
They also 19 shots that they gave up and 8 on target.
Like, it was back and forth. This was a fun match to watch.
A crazy game. So it just sort of felt like the team was a little top heavy. When it came to playing against some of the much more skilled countries. I mean, France played the U.S. and we all saw the result.
Yeah, and I don't think any decision Thierry Henry made is the reason they lost.
I agree.
To me is like, all right, this none of the fault lies at his...
Spain were better on the day. Yeah. That's how I took it. But a big...
France is proud of him, though.
Yeah, a big, just a summer for Spain. I mean, really the only blemish was the really poor result for the Spanish women at these Olympics. But overall, they I think very, very just impressive stuff. All right, we got to talk... A little bit of Leagues Cup and just catch up on MLS. So we'll talk about that right after this. All right, before we get to MLS and Leagues Cup, we teased this last week that we have our permanent new producer.
What?
What?
Wow.
Crazy. So shout out, everybody, give a round of applause and welcome Carter Singh, everybody. Say hello, Carter.
Hello, hello. Actually, fun fact for you, Alexis, I don't know if you're going to want to make Emma Hayes a knight anymore. She's a diehard Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Oh. Jeez. You know what? This is a good example that sometimes your heroes aren't perfect.
And okay. And that's the thing is, speaking of Tottenham Hotspur fans, Carter is also a Tottenham Hotspur supporter.
Every producer we've had so far is a damn Tottenham Hotspur fan.
And they intentionally recruit them. They're like, hey, you cannot be the Cooligans producer if you do not support the team Alexis hates.
Much like when I was a child with the white van scares, the Tottenham Hotspur fans have absolutely been scared by a man in Skechers.
So welcome aboard, Carter. So we're
thank
excited
y'all. Appreciate
to,
it.
To get this journey going, man.
Fun fact, Carter used to work with me at CBS as well. So nice long lineage of working together.
Where his other producer, Michael Willotes, is also a Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Yeah. Good God, I'm surrounded by them.
I don't know what happened.
Remember the clip of me and Suze drinking smoothies where the desk throws to me in Vegas. This is a while back.
Yes.
I say there's like six cameras on me. Mm-hmm. The camera's supposed to be slimming, but for some reason I still look fat. Mm-hmm. They asked me why I'm wearing all black. Carter was the producer of that segment.
Look at that. Yeah. All right. So
handed me a disgusting AirPod and said, put this in your ear. And I said, under no circumstances am I wearing that.
You have learned Alexis is I always say this, like he's like a germaphobe about certain things, and then we'll eat absolute garbage food. And it's like, all right, this doesn't really apply to everything about health.
Well, let me tell you something. You deep fry an AirPod, I'll touch it. I'll touch it. I know it's been through 180% degree, whatever the temperature to kill bugs
he's
is.
He's like, that AirPod's a bit of a slut. I don't want it anywhere near me.
No, this thing had crud in it. I was like, fam. And he goes, it's the videographers. I was like, well, let's first get this guy a pack of Q-tips, too. Get this thing away from me. Do you have a hand sanitizer for yourself?
All right. So let's get to it and wrap up the show with this stuff. So Leagues Cup, we haven't gotten a chance to really chat about it throughout these Olympics and Copa America.
The round of 158 is over. It's too many teams.
We can start there, right? Leagues Cup, we all know what we're sort of
remember when it
into.
Started with four teams?
Oh, yeah.
A couple years ago?
The little trials. Yeah.
Fam, it's too much.
It's a lot of teams. Okay, this might take up too much time, but because I've been thinking about this stuff just about.
Oh, you got, hold on.
The U.S., the U.S. Open Cup controversies and MLS not wanting to participate in the tournament because they want to focus on Leagues Cup and all this other stuff. So, in general, this is sometimes it feels dirty to enjoy a Leagues Cup game. You know what I mean? You watch some of these games, and they're well attended, and the vibes are wild, and it's like, should I be? There's a lot of people that are not supporting this. Should I also not support it? But it's also,
I get the feeling. It's like if imagine your wife left you for Bad Bunny, and you're like, but the song's still slapping.
They be slapping, bro.
I mean, the guy's got bars. He can sing.
What am I
going to
not perreo when his songs are playing?
Bro, I'm already twerking. I'm perreando over here, bro.
I was born to perrear. What am bro. I going to do? I can't control it.
What are you going to walk away from a quinceañeras party you got invited to as a family member because they're playing Bad Bunny, the guy who stole your girl? No.
So this is kind of the case with it. Some of these games,
and this is more interesting than what we were going to talk about, by the way. So I'd rather talk about this. Yeah, NYCFC made it. They're going to play Tigres. Difficult
which
match.
Which is also,
but who cares?
They played against the Rams. Yeah. They won in penalties in a game with there might have been 900 people
yeah,
there.
Yeah, shout to Justin Hawk for getting that penalty.
Just to have NYCFC through all the years and years of penalties being...
When it comes to pens, we win.
Now, but that wasn't the case the first 5 years.
It was against Revs when they were the best team ever in the history of MLS.
It was in
Portland when we won that MLS Copa.
Those first few years, though, whenever NYCFC went to penalties, heartbreak all the time. The Maxi Morales missing big penalties.
I don't remember any of that. I remember celebrating the MLS Cup.
My man, he got the men in black little laser. That thing.
I'm good.
So whenever NYCFC, against Querétaro, that over. I was on the sidelines there watching that game, and then watching against you're just like, we ain't gonna lose ever. If it goes to pens, we got
it's us.
It.
We home.
Doesn't matter.
But the feeling dirty watching MLS Leagues Cup. I'm my head's
Copa
scrambled.
Ligas.
Copa de Ligas. I get what you're saying. I also feel like the tournament is too big, and it doesn't, for some reason, it doesn't feel as important to the Mexican teams.
That's it. But this, it always feels that way before the tournament starts, and then the tournament starts, and then the Mexican teams are going crazy, or they're getting into fights, or whatever.
Yeah, but they also just don't want to get punked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the big issue for them is they don't want to feel the fan base be mad at them that they lost to an MLS team.
Sure. The scrutiny for the Liga MX teams is much higher than
they got
than
a lot more to lose,
and they just have people are gonna yell at them more. That's mm-hmm. all, because they don't want the embarrassment of losing to an MLS right. side. But I think this time around, I still think these games should be played in Mexico for those. They should be able to host some games.
The Mexican teams want to play in the U.S.
Yes. Well, the players probably don't, but the clubs themselves...
No, the officials, the front office?
Yeah, front office are like, hey, yeah. We know where the money's at. So.
Right, like if Gignac goes up there to complain, to be like, hey, man, we should play some of those games in Mexico, the front office be like, I can't hear you, my money machine is running. Okay. I can't, for some reason.
It's printing dollars, not pesos,
sorry,
all right?
My G. We got hundreds.
but overall, look, this is why I say the U.S. Open Cup offers something that is definitely special and I think important to what the future of American soccer probably should look like or could look like. I just look at
you're asking MLS to be agnostic, I guess, about their financial gains.
I'm not
for
asking
the purpose
that.
Of the future of the sport. No, that is what you're asking.
I'm not personally asking that. No,
you what you just said is what's asking. Not you, Christian.
No, but clearly what I think a lot of people want, which is why
I think it's what we would have hoped. MLS would say, okay, we're the top division, we're the top flight in this country, and with that comes some responsibilities, and that is helping build soccer as a sport in this country where it's still developing. Right?
Yes.
And part of that is taking part in a competition and taking it seriously in a competition where anyone can win. Anyone from a liquor store in Texas to one of the best teams in MLS. I think that's what we would hope for. I can see why businessmen won't make the decision to do that.
Sure.
I can see why. I don't respect the decision to not help build the sport.
Right.
I would say, here's a moment to make money and be a hero. And I think, you know, immediate gain versus future long-term gain.
Right, and that's the point I was going to make.
Rising tides lift all boats. Mm-hmm. If you make the leagues below you stronger, now you have leagues supplying you with better players. And now you have leagues that are supplying better competition, creating better players and better teams for you. And now all of a sudden, the whole sport gets bigger. We have never seen that from MLS.
Right, and so my frustration overall is not with MLS, it's with U.S. soccer for not enforcing that. And that the responsibility of growing the game in this country is on U.S. soccer, not specifically MLS or NWSL or USL. They all have to be self-interested.
No, I disagree when you say the responsibility is not MLS. It actually calls for that in being the top flight.
Well, it would be on them to
it's not their sole responsibility.
It would be on them to follow through with that, which is like, but you also have owners that are like, how do we make the most money as fast as possible? And that, and thinking about grassroots and lower league clubs and promotion relegation is that's not going to even pierce their psyche to try and do something like that.
If you just call me out of my office is what they say.
Yeah, it's like you either care or you don't. And yeah. And we know it could work if there was a genuine investment and care.
Because the ROI isn't. There's no way to tell this is what the ROI
exactly.
is on
but
this decision.
So that's, you know, I can categorize my my feelings in that sense. I'm like, I understand what American soccer could be and what it probably should be. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Leagues Cup and there is a at least it does offer some positives in that
you do get a Liga MX team getting to play a couple matches in the U.S. where fans probably don't always get the opportunity to watch them, and they have huge fan bases. And yes, for the money incentive, which is clearly there. I'm not even necessarily focusing on that. There is a certain level of there's a ton of support. And fans get to witness that and get to see it. Whether you care about the tournament or not, I'm like, just sometimes the pageantry around the game and some of the passion around it, I'm like, as an entertainment product, I'm like, some of these games are very entertaining.
Yeah.
A lot of the games are not, especially when they're between two MLS teams, it's a little bit tougher to really care. And so I get the...
Because it's not new. It's not exciting.
Because I get the protest from a lot of the supporters groups. Like, I support that. If that is not...
I back that. That's the only way they can really get their voices
exactly.
heard.
And I think it's a valid thing to be doing. Mm-hmm. But to just, in general, say, like, League's Cup is boring or stupid. It has nothing to offer. I'm like, nah, I can't. I don't agree with that either. Big picture, I hope... My hope is that they just play in all the tournaments, and that really should be I think that's a fair compromise. Maybe the players don't love having to play all these games. I understand that as well, but the Leagues Cup does have something to offer when it comes to growing the game in a specific way for these like top level teams.
Yeah.
Club America playing in Tigres and all the like people. Love these clubs, and they don't necessarily want to go to Mexico to watch them play and to get the opportunity to see them play. That's not in a CONCACAF Champions game. That also means something.
I also would love the MLS players to get to experience the very difficult atmosphere that it is to play in Mexico.
I agree. Yeah,
not just in Champions League, CONCACAF Champions Cup, but in a in league tournament that's separate. Kind of sounds exciting. I also just think in overall, MLS just can't. They just can't own everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at some point, you have to do something that is outside of that box. And if not, then maybe you can't be the top flight. Maybe you could still be MLS.
Sure.
But you can't be the first division. And maybe you don't want to be in that period. Maybe you want to be separate.
Yeah.
That's fine. But there's some responsibilities that come with that. So I agree with you. U.S. soccer is at least held accountable for
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I mean, they're the ones that have to say, like, this is how it's going to go. And,
yeah.
And I'm sure MLS has a lot of pressure against U.S. soccer to kind of do like what they want to do. But this is I just think it's something we should continue to debate and argue about, because I think every fan's opinion is valid. And like, what do we want American soccer to look like? And if like I hate League's Cup, hate Open Cup, or like whatever, like I want to get to the point where we can compete in World Cups. And we can get to semifinals, and we can get to finals, especially the men's side, right? So that is where my sort of head is at. So I think all the debate is valid. So we're at the round of 16 of League's Cup. The matches that how many Liga MX teams made it through to the round of 16?
We Club got America one, is there, Cruz two, Azul, Mazatlán, four, Toluca,
five.
Tigres, and that's it, Pumas.
Okay, so we got a couple, and the
six total.
Yes. So essentially, the games I think I saw, and shout out to Fabian Renkel.
Yeah. He talks about this a lot.
Who talks about Leagues Cup a lot. He's a journalist, I think, based out of in the Bay Area. He's been going to a lot of the games, and he pointed out how the West Coast games seem to be much more well attended than the East Coast games, because the
larger population of Mexicans that maybe celebrate their clubs.
Their clubs. And so that's why I've been, when I'm watching, you know, the earlier games on the East Coast, I watch those. I'm like, okay, I'm going to Leagues Cup and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. I watch NYCFC. But then you watch, I saw the LAFC games. I saw the LA Galaxy games have been remarkable. They didn't make it to the round 16.
No, they lost to Seattle, right?
Yeah. But they were great. Those games have been awesome. And when they play Chivas, when they even San Jose, whatever, it's just like the West Coast matches were probably just a little bit more exciting. And really, the biggest problem with Leagues Cup this year is that Messi's not playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, they caught fire that year he played last year when he came into the league. Leagues Cup became the most important tournament ever.
And as soon as he rolled his ankle in Copa America, you know Donny G was like, no!
Bro, he's like, yo, we need another round. we need a round.
Maybe another round that's a month apart from the opening game.
Well, would you see the Liga MX NWSL Summer Cup? The finals going to be played in October.
There's a summer. Oh, really?
Yeah. The NWSL Liga MX Summer Cup that they just had. The finals in October, not in the summer. You know, he's like, look, let's get messy. Let's get into Miami to the final. We played in October.
Dude,
why are you pulling up bikini photos of his wife zooming in on her legs?
I'm pulling up because Messi posted on Instagram and everybody in the comments.
You went right to toes.
I'm looking at his egg. I'm not showing it on screen.
I mean, you could.
But the reason I'm going because his wife and Messi did a collab post on Instagram, and everybody is commenting about Messi's ankle.
Yeah, that's what everyone's commenting on.
Because everybody's looking at how bad his ankle currently is.
Bro, his foot looks like a pile of deli ham. This is a horrendous.
This is
a horrendous foot.
You see, it doesn't seem horrendous. Is not the word I would use.
This is one of the most magical. It literally looks like a hand that was smashed in a construction accident.
You see his leg go and as it goes down to his ankle, it is like it gets thinner towards the ankle and then it balloons up. So there's still some swelling. And he's clearly not ready to play, but everybody's still concerned. They obviously want him to play as soon as possible.
And if you're worried about Antonella's ankles, you saw them on our show.
Hers are perfectly fine.
Yeah. Hey. No, what's her return window?
Can she play for Messi for now?
Honestly, it would sell tickets.
You don't even have to change the jersey. Nah. It's Messi right there.
That's her name, bro.
Okay. So, I think that's kind of the issue right now with League's Cup. It's like it doesn't have the same excitement and fanfare because that last year was just so unbelievable.
Yeah, nothing's going to match up to that.
But and they wanted that.
Unless Ronaldo came to a Mexican team right now.
But you know MLS wanted that so bad. They were like,
yum, yum, yum. Give me that money.
And then he rolled that ankle and it's like, no.
No. Don Garber has to move his steak, which is just a rack of cash over covered in A1 sauce. And he's like, damn it. I can't even enjoy my steak.
Honey, you're eating money again?
It's the third time this week.
Oh, we met Don. He's a lovely
guy. Actually a great guy. By the way, he works for the owners. Everyone's mad at him. He's literally just telling you what the owners are telling him to say.
Obviously round 16 matches are coming. They start.
So watch League's Cup regardless of all the things we said.
Hey, watch it, don't watch it. Have a good, enjoy your life. That's the main thing. The quick wrap up with a couple transfers we should just address. Tim Ream going to Charlotte FC. How you feeling about it?
Yay!
I'm a little bit concerned, mainly that of the artificial pitch. I'm like, is that the right?
Not
team
the fact that he's 75 years old.
No. I think he'll be fine. But there's a combination of the where he's playing,
the summer heat,
which is like it's almost over. He'll be fine with that. But the quality of players that he's playing around, right? Mm. It's like. And Charlotte have been pretty good this year, obviously.
It's more Fulham in the championship than it is Fulham in the Premier League, is what you're saying.
So I'm concerned, and maybe he'll prove me wrong, and maybe he'll be perfectly fine. But I'm like, can he perform at the level that he was at Fulham, given the players that he was playing with?
I thought we were doing this quickly, which is why we're with two thumbs up and yay. But
I think that was pretty quick. Giroud should be playing soon for LAFC. So we've seen is him with Will Ferrell in the stands.
Yeah, he's going to score. This is what he does.
So we'll see how that goes. But then Tom Boger had reported that Antoine Griezmann is reportedly almost already like having conversations with LAFC, but it's a matter of when he joins the team versus if. How are you,
bro? If they're playing together, amazing. If not, even also amazing.
Okay, you're not feeling too retirement league ish with Giroud and Griezmann there.
Honestly, who cares?
I don't know. I think there's better. Even if you are thinking like of MLS and like spreading out the talent,
still got it though.
He does still got it, but he doesn't have the pace he had years ago and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean
all these Frenchmen.
You got Boang. He's not, you know, he represents Gabon, but, yeah, he's, but he speaks French.
Yes.
Maxime Cheneau represents mm-hmm. Luxembourg, but also born in France as well.
They went from Mexican to French, bro. Oh. You ever see someone do that?
It's just like the
that's like when I'm picking restaurants. It's the only way I've done that.
They just went. It's like for, you know, for the Olympics in Paris, and then right to Los Angeles.
They went from Orale to Ulala. That's crazy.
I love it. Okay, I guess we have the title of the episode.
Damn, they went from Tijuana Donkey Show to Moulin Rouge.
Yes, that's what Mexican.
Just giving you options on which one you relate to most.
Exactly. We know what all Mexicans are known for, and the donkey shows are a big part. It's on their flag, I think.
Yeah. You might want to scrub that flag before you hang it.
All right, let's wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to a brand new episode of The Cool Again. Alexis will be away the next two episodes.
Clap for the show, not for me being away. I am going to a wedding, though, so that'll be fun. But I'll be back very briefly.
Exactly. So we'll have some guest co-hosts coming up.
I've already gotten enough DMs from Cooligans fans saying, yo, you've been going away a lot. Sorry if I'm trying to give my wife a break from working at a hospital.
Exactly. All right. We'll be back on Thursday, a new episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans. Hit the subscribe button. Do all the work you got to do to support this program. We appreciate it. All right.
If you've got a button in front of you, hit it. Unless it says eject, baby. That was, it's not going to say eject baby.
Don't eject the baby.
Do not eject the baby. Also, why'd you make a button for that?
We don't even need this kind of technology. But, all right. All right. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.